Welcome to another episode of At the Table with Patrick Lencioni, where everything we talk about is related to changing the world of work so that more organizations can be more effective and less dysfunctional, and employees can be more fulfilled and less miserable. I'm your host, Pat Lencioni. I'm joined by my trusty co-host, Cody Thompson. Hello there, Cody.
Hey, Pat.
What's the word today? How you doing?
I was going to go with pretty good. I feel like if you just throw a qualifier in there, you can still use pretty good, pretty great, anything like that.
That's good. That's better than mediocre. You were mediocre last time or something like that. Yep. Good. Tracy Noble, you're with us again today. How are you doing, Tracy?
I am. I'm awesome today. Thank you.
You're our adult supervision. We appreciate that very much. Matt, thumbs up, thumbs down. That's good. That's pretty good because Matt did not like the podcast title today or the topic. So we're going to see if this is crappy or good. Cody, what is the subject of today's podcast?
Okay, I will tell you that, Pat. But before we do that, I actually want to do a little commercial here. You finished a Working Genius book not that long ago. Tracy's actually making sure you didn't make any mistakes in there. She's she's giving you a fist bump for finishing. That book is now available for pre-sales. Anywhere you could pre-sell a book, Amazon, book, you know, book, any place you can go online and pre-sale a book. Yep, Barnes & Noble. And that is coming out on September 27th. So I'd love it if our listeners, you guys have heard us talk about Working Genius. We've heard so many stories from people who've been impacted by that model. We'd love for this crew, the people that follow our podcast, to go out there and be the first few people that went and got their hands on that book. So it'll ship that day. You'll get it on the release date if you get a previewed copy or if you do a pre-sale copy. So I figured I would do the announcement, Pat, because if I let you do the announcement, you'd be like, well, it's okay. I wrote it. Maybe you guys should read it. But it's a great book, and it's going to, we really are thinking this is going to have a huge impact for exactly what we talk about on this podcast, is making work more fulfilling and people more dignified in their jobs. So that book is going to do that in spades. We're stoked on it.
Are you finished, Cody?
Should I say stoked on it at the end one more time? No, I'm finished.
That's all right.
So now do you want to ask me the title again?
That's great. Thank you for that, Cody. And thanks to our listeners who are interested in that. Cody, so what are we going to talk about today during the podcast?
Okay. The title for today is Adjust Your Rearview Mirror.
That's right. Adjust Your Rearview Mirror. And we are going to defy Matthew, our engineer, and make this a fantastic topic to talk about. Maybe he'll share some information later about why he thinks this is stupid. No, it's not stupid. He doesn't think it's stupid. This is going to be a bit of a challenge because this is going to seem like a very theoretical conversation. But really what it's about is how we, in our lives, look back at things that have happened to us in the past that were painful and potentially embarrassing, and even that at the time felt almost shameful, and how we see them in retrospect when we get through those things and where we are in our lives today. This is true whether we're individually or in our organizations. So I'm just going to throw that out there. This came about today. I had a meeting with a gentleman in an organization that I help, and he has been through a very, very difficult year. And it's a year that he would choose to forget. And yet, good things are finally starting to happen. And I realized what I said to him is I said that, you know, when you go through suffering and struggle that ultimately leads to a breakthrough, you cannot afford to look back on it in the rearview mirror and see shame and embarrassment and failure. You just can't. And I know this sounds like a cheerleading thing, but you cannot afford to look back on this with a view of failure or shame. In fact, you can't even look at it as a relief that it's over. We have to look back at these difficult, hard, painful moments in our lives with fondness and appreciation. We have to look back and go, I'm so glad that happened because I could not have figured out what I figured out without that. Because if we look back on this with failure and shame, we are probably going to avoid it in the future, the next time we have to go through something hard, and we're not going to be grateful to God for what we've been through and how it's made us better. So that's what we want to talk about today, is how do we make sure not only that we see failure as a necessity in life, but that we look back on it with gratitude. So that's it. I think we're done. Let's wrap that up then. That's a good podcast.
you know, what we try to do on this podcast, the thing that keeps this from being like a puff piece, like a generic, oh, hey, undo your, or like think of your failures differently, is I actually do believe it has really practical implications for people. When you think of, it's not just like learn from your mistakes. That's not the message. The message is that there is this tendency to look back at, you know, harmful, shameful, difficult things or things that you suffered through and think, I never want to go through that again, versus yeah. thinking, how did that shape me? We, you know, and that's not just the learn from the failure piece. It's actually, I like the idea of adjusting your rearview mirror, because you can do this actively at any point. You know, look backward and sort of retell that story or recast that vision in a different way by saying, oh no, I'm not just relieved that we're never doing that again. There's so much that formed us and shaped us into the future that made us more successful.
Gosh, I just thought of a great story about that. I don't know, how old was I about? Was I 20, 19 or 20? And my girlfriend in college broke up with me. And not only that, but I went to pick her up to take her to the Rose Parade. And she said, I have two things to let you know. First, I need you to give my brother a ride to the Rose Parade. And secondly, I'm not coming with you. It sucked. And you know, if I called my parents that day and said, hey, this girl broke up with me, they'd said, oh, I'm sure this is a blessing in disguise. You should be grateful. You know, it was terrible. And I look back now, and I still think of that day and sometimes go, oh man, that sucked. But I should really look back and go, that's how I met my wife. It was because of that, that I was able to meet my wife. And I am so appreciative. I should look back at that moment with humor and fondness and gratitude, literally. But so often we don't. We just remember the way we felt in that moment. Mm-hmm. And of course, what the hell does this have to do with business or leadership or work? When we're a leader of an organization and we go through failure or struggle or pain, it's personal. Mm-hmm. We don't go like, well, my company is falling apart and I've had to let somebody go and I'm an embarrassment in my industry, but I'm sure this is a blessing in disguise. No, it sucks. Excuse me, Tracy, mm-hmm. I used the word. But we keep moving and we finally look back at it and we have to realize so often our success could never have happened without that frustrating, humbling, even humiliating experience.
Mm-hmm. There's this tendency, you described it a little bit, is there's definitely a timing to this, because when you're going through something and the leader that you described earlier is like, it's not the day after that you turn around and go, well, that was great. And it's not the week after, and it's not certainly not during. Because there is a tendency for people to be, you know, you know, Tracy, you even said your parents used to use that blessing in disguise phrase all the time.
All the time.
And what happens is
it ticked you off.
Yeah, when you're in the midst of it, the last thing you want is somebody to say, no, you should be glad this happened because there's something good in there.
That's right. You have to process it. You need time to process it. I agree, Cody.
It's not in the moment and it's not a day later. But I think the message is some people never flip the switch from feeling like, oh boy, that was suffering or painful, to maybe there was something good in that. And they just look in the rearview mirror and think, oh, I have to do everything I can to avoid any suffering in the future. And so, Pat, you say this a lot, is that people, we live in a time where people think that suffering, that we shouldn't be uncomfortable or suffer at all. And so anytime that there's pain or discomfort, we think something is wrong, when in actuality, on the other end of that is opportunity.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, I think about a graph. I wish I could draw something with a whiteboard here, but think about a graph of a line going left to right and going upward, you know, just an upward trend. Everybody wants to think that their business, their life, their family is going to go upward, and hopefully it will. But if you get close enough to that line, you realize there's moments of up and down. It's kind of a swervy line that's trending, hopefully, upward. But in order to go up, it has to swerve down sometimes. Mm-hmm. And those are necessary. And we have to, in retrospect, be glad for those things. Even if when it's happening, you know, if we were too appreciative of it in the moment, we would probably go, well, it's going down, but that's okay. And it might just keep going down. We have to say, oh, things are kind of turned down right now. I guess I have to step up and more intensely deal with this. But it's that very downturn that gives us the energy to do that. And we need to appreciate that, That's part of the journey, you know? And if we don't look back at the tough times in our journey with appreciation, we're going to never go through it again.
You know, Tracy, you asked a question before the podcast, which we should do live here is, hey, when have we done that as an organization?
Yes.
You know, like I thought that was so fun because we came up with
a fun exercise.
Yeah. So pitch it the same way that you asked us, like, hey, have there been times or what happened from the early on in the history of the company?
Yeah. What I did is I asked Pat, like, let's think back in our history about the times where we failed and there was huge shame and embarrassment. Like, let's come up with a list. And we did. We came up with four really good examples, painful
and in
examples
about 30 seconds.
That's right.
Yeah, like we launched the Teaminar. Remember the big Teaminar program? Remember, we got everybody in the organization rallied around it. We made a website and we got excited and we marketed it.
We actually did. We had sales teams. We all had to get on the phone call and make cold calls. Our entire company was brought to our knees. And after the third Teaminar, I think that's when we hooked it.
Right.
And it was painful.
For people that don't know, a Teaminar was like, we're going to get like 12 teams together from different companies in a room at the same time and take them through kind of like a speech and a consulting session. And it was so hard to coordinate their schedules and it didn't work as well. And it flopped. And we were like, oh gosh, we spent a lot of time on that. What losers we are. But we don't look back on it now.
Yeah.
We look like, hey, we had to try it.
Mm-hmm.
Could we have figured that out if we hadn't tried it? No.
Mm-mm.
You know what's funny? Teaminar-like things came out later, and we knew how to do them, and there was a demand for them, and it was because we had tried it that we had and figured it out. But it would be very easy to look back on that. And you know, Tracy, I seem to remember a few times in our company's history where we kind of laughed. We were kind of down on ourselves because of the Teaminars. And I have a few recollections of saying, no, you guys, I'm not embarrassed by the Teaminars. We had to figure that out.
Oh yeah. I think it took us years to recover from that, unfortunately. But yes, I do recall you saying, no, it was good. I'm glad we did it.
Right. And I am.
Yes.
Not the day we canceled it. I wasn't like, yay. What's another big flop we've had, Tracy?
The 1 hour teamwork advantage, Cody, that was yours. That was the one you brought up, not your responsibility.
That was my fault, the whole thing. No, I remember you guys being involved. No, this was actually a funny one because this is one where we didn't even get to benefit from the public shame of this because we never released it. After the Ideal Team Player came out, I remember we were sitting in a room and we're like, how do we get this adopted? What would be great? You know, what's a perfect market for this? And one of the things that we came up with was, boy, this would really hit home with youth sports. If we could just get all of the youth in America to adopt the Humble, Hungry, Smart, which on the face of it actually is true. Like if coaches knew this model and they were, you know, developing young athletes around Humble, Hungry, and Smart, that'd be wonderful. But we went ahead and spent tens of thousands of dollars and brought a video crew in and a couple, you know, weeks of our time planning and executing this, all to never release it to the public. We built a whole website actually, and it was a flop, and we learned some good things about it.
So we're on the other end of that now. We're out of the like, oh crap, that failed. So when we look back on that now a year later, what about that? Actually, it's been more than a year. What can we look back and say, hey, had we not done that, this would have been worse?
One of the things is that we didn't fully discern the idea all the way through. So we came up with it, and in theory, it made sense. But I think as we got further into it, we thought, okay, this is not, it's not playing out the way we intended. So we didn't fully have enough conflict around it and discern the idea.
It's funny because now that I think about this, we launched three programs like within the 3 or 4 months after that went really well. And I'm not sure we would have launched those as well had we not screwed that one up.
I completely agree. Yeah, because we knew.
That's almost exactly what I would have said that we learned is the further discerning it before we start galvanizing people around it. And I think like a very actionable thing that came out of that is whenever we, since that moment, since that project, whenever we bring a video crew in, it puts a pit in my stomach. Like, are we sure this is the thing that we're right. like, did we really go all the way there? Are we sold out on this plan? Do we believe it's going to work? Because I don't want to waste our time again. And in fact, mm-hmm. it has made us more successful in the subsequent projects.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I really think so. Had we not done that, it's very possible that the next few months would not have happened the way, because you know that we rolled that program out, and we were going to roll that program out in February of 2019, right?
Right. Right before all U Sports closed down for 2 years. It would have been wonderful.
Yeah, it was 2020. Yep.
Yeah, crazy. And yet I don't want to look back and go, man, that was terrible. Now, the reason why we're using our examples is because we didn't want to use cheesy examples from the world of like, well, Coke came out with a new formula. And you're like, we don't know what went on in those organizations.
Right.
Everyone listening to this can probably look at things you've done in your organizations, in your families, or in your personal lives that in the moment were really painful. And had that not occurred, good things would not have happened later.
There's another one, and it's worth saying, because this was more about, for 10 years we talked about doing something and we were paralyzed about whether or not we should. And we were talking about the concept related to this, is that there are sometimes often more consequences to indecision than making mm-hmm. a wrong decision. And so what I find, another one of our flops that we learned from is actually it's almost comical to say, because people are going to be like, well, how did you not know that wasn't going to work, was billboards. We had talked about billboards for a long time, not the general concept of billboards. I'm sure they work, they're out there, so they work. But we did airport billboards for when we launched the Working Genius. And there was something, but we had talked about it for 10 years. And finally, we just got to the place where we were like, hey, let's just do this so that we never put this up as an option for how are we going to market something ever again, you know? And we tried it and it didn't go super well. And now we know. And that's wonderful.
Yeah. I had a guy the other day come up to me and say, hey, I saw your ad in an airport. And I said, what? Is it still up? He goes, oh, no, no. And it was like a year ago. Like, one guy in the last 2 years has told me he saw one of our ads. And, you know, at first it's easy to go, oh, what a stupid thing. It's like, nope, we did it. We realized we're not going to do it. We probably saved so much money by not making bad future decisions by just trying that out.
Yeah. It's funny too, because in retrospect, you could do the very thing we're talking about here and just feel all this shame. Like I could go, hey, you dummy, people are in hurries at airports. They're not going to stop at your billboard and read it and then scan their phone and find out what their Working Genius is. How did you not know that? Or we could just be like, well, okay, now we know. Let's not do that again.
Yeah. You know, I was coming up with a fictitious example of, like, imagine you're a quarterback of a football team, an NFL team or something, and you throw 4 interceptions in a game. Now, anybody that comes up to you in the locker room afterward and says, well, I'm sure there's a blessing in disguise here, it's stupid, right? Because you're going to, you know, push them into the locker and pummel them. But in that moment, there's this, like, I have to figure this out. I'm really frustrated, even embarrassed. I have to figure this out. And you get through that and you figure it out and you look back and you change your throwing motion or you prepare for the next game differently. Everybody's been through that in life. And later on, your success is directly tied to having gone through that. Mm-hmm. And everybody listening to this podcast can see things like that in their life. And I want them to go back and reframe them and literally learn to be like grateful. Like, I'm so glad. So I want to say to my girlfriend in college, thank you for breaking up with me. And I am so glad that I went to the saddest Rose Bowl parade of my life, because later on it led to really good things. What are you going to say, Trace?
Why do you think we get stuck in that shame and embarrassment cycle?
Wow, that's the $10,000 question. I think it's just because the feelings are so profound mm-hmm. that we never want to feel that way again. Mm-hmm. And we detach them from the feelings of good that comes out of it.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, if we could couple those together, if we could couple that feeling you feel when things are terrible and reconnect them to the good thing. But I think they're so separated in time that we kind of look at it in a vacuum and say, I remember how crappy I felt when that happened, when the organization struggled or I was embarrassed. but we need to go back and see them in the larger picture and see the whole journey and put it in that perspective. Mm-hmm. I think that's the number one reason why. The other one is that we tend to be really tough on ourselves and think that anytime we failed, you know, I think shame is really easy to buy into.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I would say that to my sons, to a CEO I was consulting with, to anybody, whatever they're going through. Shame is the worst thing in life. And we need to know that we are redeemable and that we can do things in the future that help make up for things and that we're not a bad person. We just went through an experience. And of course, this is very tied to our faith. You know, it's like, hey, we're going to have suffering and there's redemptive suffering and it leads to good things. And so I think that's our podcast. I think that's enough time on this. I want to encourage everybody to go back and look back at their rearview mirror and reframe things so you can go forward with a sense of peace and gratitude. All right, Matt. So how bad did that suck, Matt? Matt said it didn't suck too bad. All right. Well, maybe this thumbs up, man. It sucked really bad. So let us know what you thought. Anyway, we love having you on. We're going to talk to you next time on At the Table, and we'll see you then. God bless.